Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, August 29, 2016, at 3:02 p.m.
4:02, let's rock and roll. Okay, it's 3:02, let's call the county Board of Commissioners to order and stand and say the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the boardroom and is reviewed for all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony and Rick are absent. Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to excuse Rick and Tony.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion by myself and a second by Bill. You call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, consent agenda items. We have, we got the approval of the previous minutes, which was August 15th, 2016. B, we got approval of the payroll claims. C, approval of accounts payables. There was one accounts payable in there. And the approval of the official reports. So I need a motion to the consent agenda items to approve them. I went through everything. Everything's in order, the payroll, and then the one claim that was not turned in last time around from Stan Jans.
I would move to approve the consent agenda items.
Got a motion by Bill and a second by Dick. Will you call roll, please, Joan, on the consent agenda items, please?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go. New business. I'm going to wait to open up the bid for the gravel bid for Gateway. I'm going to move on to B, to Devin, the wellness specialist. Kind of miss Holly a little bit. I want to throw it out there. It's all good, right? Mercy Medical, or the Mercy Business Health Services, to present the board the wellness screening aggregate report and employer solution for Dakota County in 2016. Do we have a lot of participants?
Yeah, we were up, what's the official number on that? We were up by 9 compared to last year.
So we went to 10?
31.
Oh, okay.
So that's we saw a trend. There was 1 year back to 13 where we had 33 people. Other than that, it's been about 20s. 1 year is down as low as 18, so it's good to see that number back up to 31 into the 30s. So hopefully we can continue that and even continue to get more people to participate as we keep doing it.
We are trying to work something as a board coming next year with our insurance, mm-hmm. Our health insurance. We got to make some adjustments, but we want to try to do some type of incentives, some kind of a program where we want to get more people involved.
Yeah.
I think what we employ is, 110, roughly? Give or take. But, yeah, we'd like to definitely see that number grow.
I mean, you definitely want people to know their health knowledge.
Absolutely.
If there's no incentive to it, sometimes we just ignore it and don't need to know it or think we don't need to know it, so...
Well, I think we're hoping that maybe that insurance might be a little bit of leverage to get people involved.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Yeah, right.
So the overall GPA did decrease a little bit, but that is a little bit deceiving because every aspect except for blood glucose or diabetes risk improved. So how does the GPA work, though? It looks at certain things as more important than others, where diabetes, if type 2 diabetes or type 1 can also cause all these other things to increase, so it's going to heavily weigh diabetes as a problem area or decrease the overall GPA if that is in negative. So blood pressure, smoking, weight management, and cholesterol all improved from 2015. Like I said, diabetes was the only one that did not improve. So don't let that deceive you that the GPA did decrease from last year, but everything improved. So we're in the right direction. It's just trying to tweak some little aspects here and there. If we go through each chart here, blood pressure, previously last year had a GPA of a 3.31. This year it improved to a 3.34 or B+. So the biggest change we saw was people that were in the borderline transitioned to that ideal range, which is a good transition. You don't want to see the borderline people transition to the high range. You want to see that transition from borderline to ideal.
Have they changed, though, the blood pressure of being, like...
Not yet. I know what you're getting at.
You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that may be something, I don't know when. They're kind of thinking 120 over 80 is, that right now is our normal, our ideal under that.
But if you go to the doctor and you have 140 over 70, they say, oh, that's normal, right?
It's hard because blood pressure, we'd want to measure you three different times a day at three different times in different settings, and that's going to be your normal blood pressure, but... We probably can't get you at three different times at three different settings.
Right, okay.
Usually it's going to be in a doctor's office setting or a medical setting, and that can make people nervous, so that can raise it up. I'd come to you right now and do your blood pressure would be the ideal way of doing it, but that isn't most likely the case in most settings. Smoking decreased by quite a bit. It was 17.4% participants smoked last year, and that's decreased to 9.7%. And that's a good trend to see, even with more people. So you'd expect more people to participate, that to go up a little bit. It actually went down. The diabetes risk, this is where we saw some of the change. And a little bit deceiving, too, is we updated technology that we're using as far as the glucometers that we use to get that glucose reading. So that change maybe doesn't reflect the people, but it might be our technology. We've improved that technology, got more accurate machines. So it may be accuracy versus change in the people's blood sugar.
Sure.
So that just also helps us communicate to you. Maybe we're seeing if you're borderline before, the new accurate machines can maybe put you into a higher borderline, or if you thought maybe you're ideal before, now you're in the borderline, and that kind of reflects. And that fasting, we saw that big change from ideal to the borderline. Versus, not that many people went up in the high category, it's just that borderline change. And then weight management is a tough one for everyone, but we did see improvement here. We only had 13% in ideal last year, and we had 22% in ideal this year. So that's a pretty big jump. And then that 10% change actually happened in the people that were in the high, so we brought a lot of people up from that high range. I did do body fat percentage this year. I did not include it in the aggregate report because it would kind of confuse it because we haven't done it before. If this is something we would like to change for next year and just kind of restart that weight management, we could with the body fat percentage. But I think a lot of people enjoy doing body fat percentage. It kind of gives you a more accurate reading of your body composition. I think we talked about it last year with your BMI. You didn't enjoy that because it puts you in a category that maybe isn't true. With body fat, we get that true body composition. And then we can go from there.
Yeah, it makes you sound huge.
BMI does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the standard. It's just cheap, it's easy. And it's
I'm getting shorter as I get older, and I'm getting bigger around, okay? I think that's just part of getting old, I think.
And we can get true reading with that body fat percentage. So if we can address that for the screening next year, if that would be chosen.
Yeah, we'll iron all those details out with Joan and what the board wishes and what Joan would like to see. And then, like I said, we want to get more people to participate without a doubt.
And then cholesterol health, this was a really good there were zero people with the high total cholesterol that we screened, so that's really good to see. Same thing with the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, only 3% of people were in the high. So we're seeing really good numbers there. The only one that wasn't as good was the HDL. So this one's based on diet and exercise. So that kind of maybe reflects that we need to improve diet and exercise a little bit. And then that kind of covers the charts of the screens that we did. Looking at this, some recommended changes. Continue with the wellness committee that we have here. I think even meeting what we have met, we've improved some things already. We started doing some health coaching challenge, and people seem to enjoy the health coaching challenge and try to implement some more challenges with that. Try to get more people, like you said, to participate. Continue to offer maybe some various screens, whether it be body composition again or bone density. We do a posture screen where we can try to improve posture, which can also potentially lead to reduced work comp claims if we can improve posture and reduce the amount of muscle strain as sitting on a desk or while doing your job. And then continue with some of those lunch and learn topics that we come in and do and try to educate the workforce on
Did they do the one with the screen with the
vascular screening?
The vascular? Did you guys do that?
I don't think we did it in 2015. But that would be, I could talk to, that's not set up through me, it's set up through cardiology.
Okay, get that set up and get with Joan because I want to get that done again.
Well, we had an employee here a couple years ago that found some problems.
Yeah, that's a huge one to do. You can save a life. Or
and I just said to Joan, not even probably a month or so ago, and a couple of the board members, I said, we need to do that again just because that's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's all important, but that there, like I said, that saved one of our employees' lives a huge expense.
Definitely.
Everyone,
right here and doing it, it can get a huge group of people that maybe need
so
to
get
done.
So get with your people to get with Joan, and then we'll get that handled.
Okay.
See if we can get that set up. I think it's important that we do that. Mm-hmm. Do you, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have about a third of our employees that volunteer to do this. Is that typical?
It depends on what the incentive is. If it's purely voluntary and there's no incentive with the insurance company, if there's a drawing to do it, if it's purely just voluntarily, that's about average, a third.
Well, we need to maybe try to offer some incentives to get more people involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, listen, any questions for Devin? Anything else?
Perfect. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks, and then, thanks for everything. And then we'll be getting with Joan, and let's keep it going. Let's get that cardiology.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please.
Okay. We'll get a wellness committee meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, okay? Okay, we're going to go back to do business. We're going to go back to A. It's now we're in time to open and award the bids for the Gateway Drive Asphalt Project. Dakota County reserves the right to reject any and all bids and to waive any or all irregular. How do you say that word?
Technicalities
and yes. But anyways, bidding must be approved by the Nebraska Department of Roads. And this bid notice was in the paper. Was it 2 weeks? 3 weeks. Project must be completed by October 31st.
Probably the 18th and the 25th.
18th and the 25th. I'm looking at it right here. But anyways, it just said the length of the project is estimated 2,000 feet with 20-foot width, and it must be completed by October 31st. So Fred's on holiday, and Joan's going to open up the bids here. So
how many bids did we get?
Three.
We
got three bids.
Frank's Asphalt. I forgot to put bid sheets out, didn't I?
That's all right.
$44,725.
Knife River.
$43,123.10. Barclay Asphalt, $39,450.
Barclay, $39,450.
What was it? Did we have an estimate on this?
Yeah.
Did Fred have any estimates?
89.
Yeah.
How much?
Roughly 90.
Okay. For the 2-inch.
Yeah.
I would move that we refer this to the road committee.
And then let them make a decision upon it?
Make a decision.
Okay.
On what bidder to take.
Okay. So with the opening of the bids from Frank's, Knives, and Barclay, Bill Rohde's making a motion to turn it over to the road committee and giving them the authority to make the decision on which contractor to go with, if needed to go with one, if we decide to go with one. Okay, so that's Bill's motion. You want to take a second on that, Dick?
I'll second that.
All right, I got a second by Dick on that then. John, will you call roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Joan. On the three, we got, or excuse me, C, we got Sophie Vargas. Is she here today? No?
I don't see her.
She's requesting a special liquor license to be approved for the I wish Tony was here, restaurant at the rodeo event sponsored by some Noel LLC
Vargas
to be held on Sunday, September 25th, 2016 at the Old Crystal Lake area. Same spot they've been wanting, so they basically want a new date of the September 25th from noon to 11:30 p.m. on September 25th.
You know, we've asked them in the past on Sunday nights if it's not a holiday to end it at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes. So if we do this, I think we need to make that clear to them that they have to quit at 10.
Because we know that we've already had people and we've talked to them, and I don't think they've had a lot of events out there because they've been rained out or something hasn't worked out or whatever, but just the people got wind that it was going to be a late event, and they we've talked about this. So what do you want, how do you want to put it? Well, you want to put it from noon to 10 o'clock?
I would move to give them their special designated liquor license for that date, September 25th, Sunday, noon to 10 o'clock p.m.
Noon to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so 12 o'clock noon to 10.
And with
10
the same p.m. restrictions, they have the deputies, they're off-duty deputies out there, they hire them, and they know that.
I will second that.
Okay, so we'll give them their liquor license approval, but with the times from noon to 10 p.m. on Sunday, September 25th, and we got a motion by Bill and a second by Dick. Will you call roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, D, we have Andy Lux requesting the board's approval to clean ditches on K Avenue, 1.5 miles north of Highway 35, and I Avenue, 3/4 mile north and 1 mile north of Highway 35 to address water drainage issues on Highway 35 and surrounding farmlands. Andy, will you state the name and address for the record, please?
Andy Lux, Hubbard and Brown. I have maps. Would you like to look at them?
Yeah. I think it would be nice to have them.
Andy,
please.
Here, give that now. I also have a list of the kind of the ag farmers. There's 23 people involved, so I have a list of them, so I'll just pass that around also.
Okay.
First, Andy, are you guys creating a new drainage district, or are you going to add on to number 5?
We're not. We haven't really did anything yet. It's all part of a procedure, I guess. What we started with was from the end and came back. The District 17, I met with them. They gave me the name of the Corps of Engineers and then the DEQ. They gave us an approval to do a water. We're going to like to use the dike. Since the dam has been put in, the dike is going to be redredged for depth and have volume, so we could use the dike for some when-needed water. The NRD let us have that approval to pump water into it. The bottom of it is higher than the land around it, so it would have to be pumped up into it. From there comes back to the county roads, which would be a nice avenue for the water to come from north to south. There's been no designated ways in which to get there. There's already what everyone calls as a flow of water that goes at a slight angle from the center of that map towards the dike already, which is what is called now the natural course of water, but that at one time was dug out by hand. So we were hoping for permission to use the east and west directions of Highway 35 to move the water. In some places it could go east towards I Avenue, and in the center of it could even go back if we were forced to make a straight line directly to the dike. The NRD has proposed that their participation would be from the center of that map. You'll see section 11 and 14 on the west. Up the valley from that to the west, they were going to put in a structure, a dam, to help. But the dam to be filled, there's a continuous flow of water out of the hills onto the bottom. and it never stops, and it never has. When the railroad was there, they dug a trench at an angle to create what is now the flow of water to drain away from the tracks, but being it's not there, it's created kind of an easier ponding area right there at the bridge on Highway 35. It's a still water. I'm not saying that cleaning road ditches, the highway, or the county would be the cure of it, but they showed us at a map at the NRCS that there's an elevation change of no more than 10 foot in a four mile radius of that. So even if we have an up and down, it seems almost possible to come up with a way in which to make a small canal, and what that shape like has to do with the decision of the county and the state and the roads that it courses by. There's 23 people and 5,000 acres, and there's probably two-thirds of that that is non-productive this year. It's not every year that this comes to effect, but I've seen it before.
How many acres are non-productive this year?
I would say close to 3,500 that have been influenced by it. And it's land that we won't go into as far as assessments and evaluations and things like that. What this is a way in which I needed to present to you, because of the State of Nebraska Highway Roads Department, Kevin. These are all people that have names, and it's not that I can pronounce their last ones. But in order for the state to dig out their ditch, they need you to give us permission or to be involved in a way that we could use one of the county roads, I and K, to use a to continue the flow of water. It doesn't do any good to dig out the highway road right away and have a bunch of water setting along the highway. I don't think that works. I don't think that public would probably favor that, right? There's been no plan of any kind of way in which to do it. No one has offered for an engineering plan. There's an elevation of a map given during the flood that gave us the... Since Highway 77 went in, it kind of created an area from there, from Homer out, creates kind of a berm that doesn't let that water continue to go anywhere. There's nowhere for it to go.
This Elk Creek on here, Andy, is that still a creek?
I mean, it is.
You can visibly see this Elk Creek. I just can't picture that.
Well, it's...
I mean, the Elk Creek to me is the one going north of Jackson. Isn't that Elk Creek?
Yes. The Pigeon is what feeds the dike that goes through home.
Right.
And these are two developed dikes that were created in the early 1900s, and there's a date.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's been 100 years, for instance, this year, that the one that was developed for Jackson was put in. And there's not... We all know how it is. It's so easily come across money to do all the things that we all need to do.
Right.
This is more of a request for permission so we could go forth with lining up everyone that needs to have. You know, someone's going to want to stop this with an excuse or a reason. There's a set of highline wires on I Avenue South, or on I Avenue that's south of Highway 35. If you were at the Bierman D High, which gives you an awareness to that, going by Iris Farm there, there's a set of high lines on each side. We haven't even approached them to see how we could go around or through that area. These farmers, this list of people, should be very accommodating to the needs of what it takes to do this, if that's what they truly want. They've all stated that that's a wish. You know, this is going to need death.
Got to be in line. They're going to want this for sure. I mean, a hole sitting there in water year-round is not good.
I think there's ways to deal with it in every way, but it has to be a permission and an awareness and a, you know, from all of the names Breyer mentioned, NRD, DQ, yourselves, the State Highway Commission, and then it comes to the landowners. And everyone's wanting an engineer to be part of this, but the minute we do that, we've got a 10-year situation involved with it. I shouldn't have an I think sentence in this. I just like the awareness of this committee to look at the opportunity to do some things that need to be done to make water go north and south, from the north to the south. Fred had mentioned to me that there's a saturation issue alongside of a county road to bring water alongside of it, but at this time, there's already 3 miles of it that's got water standing to the level of not quite less than a foot of the depth of the crown of the center of the road, which is just a drive-by thing. It isn't like I measured that.
Well, I think we want to be on board with this. I mean, why not? It's some of this land looks like 2 out of 10 years is flooded, you know. And I, if we can legally get rid of that problem, and the fishing district, I'm sure, is eventually going to be dredged. It's a win-win.
You know, I've been saying to Fred for the last 6 years, you know, of having a good ditch district plan. You know, I mean, the ditches, we know that have all silted in over years. You get it. And I just give an example. A lot of us have been traveling these back roads since we were kids. And just like in front of the Jackson Bridge when it flooded, okay, out by Ira's place and et cetera out there, you know, Tom spent tons and tons and tons of money and time of getting that to be a ditch again, and the way it used to be 30 years ago. And over the years, you know, it silts in without a doubt. And it'd be nice to be able to have a program and be able to afford to be able to clean these ditches out and get the water running the way it's supposed to be running.
Personally, Bill asked earlier if we're trying to create a ditch or a water committee. That's no, because if we do have, well, there's a lawyer involved with this because his family has some farms, and he says that we've extinguished all ditch kind of committees. You can't even develop one in this area because when they put in whatever happened, that's not a legal way to go about moving water. There's been one mention, and the Corps of Engineers has a lot to do with what the State Highway Commission can do on a flow of water, but this, I don't think you want to take to your community taxpayers as a way in which, you know, the county decided to clean these two roads.
Right.
I think we need a permission to bring awareness to this. It'd be great if the county had any way in which to provide an elevation of how far we can go down to create what we need to have. Because There could be a lot of things done at the same time, not just to drain the water from north to south. It's just not that they want to tile these fields, but if we create an area near that dike to vacuum water out of it, we do need a constant volume of water, which means we really only have a 6-inch surface water problem on top right now. But it's nice to be in the 20s below that level as a way of creating a volume of water to be pooled. These transfer pumps are huge in order to accommodate this big of area, but you can't have them just on and off. You have to create a steady flow. We could create a ponded area near the dike. We've got landowners that will let us use positions to do that. We're one of them. So anyway.
So you're not asking for money. You're asking to use our easements in a right of way to drain this. And if it was done right, our ditches would probably have less water than they have now. I mean, if they're made to grade, they're going to dry up, right?
Well, I'd like to agree and know the answers to them, but I don't. I don't know the answers of what it would do. I don't think it'll hurt because the water isn't going anywhere. I know the problem isn't going to go away. And it happens to be quite a large area, and it has to be 23 people. And I don't want to say out loud we don't want any money. What we would like is an engineering awareness, because the permission has some detail to that. By you saying, that's true, I didn't come here asking for money. I do need permission. But to engineer the permission slip, I would like to know what is that you need to have that be okay with this committee. You know, we could have a great little conversation about this, and sure, let's do it. But somebody, for some reason, I've never been to any room yet on this project of thought that didn't have the word engineer in it. I mean, I don't know who this person is, or if it has to be an official engineered position, but I think we're trying to avoid a District 17, I was advised the minute we bring the NP, the NRD and the NCRS and the FSA and a lot of government entities into this, it pretty much becomes what it is right now.
A dead horse.
Something like that.
Well,
the state highway wants your blessing, so to speak, to go forward, just to get somebody doing forward. That doesn't mean it's happening. That means that the organizations are having conversations about permissions to do or acts that they need to have to go forward.
I guess myself, I would say yes, we would like to be involved in. We don't want to stop it, that's for sure. We'll let you guys continue and make these improvements. And I think maybe if we're involved, maybe our road committee would like to be part of your group or at some time or another be included and have some input on what's done. I mean, we just can't say you can dig our ditches 20 foot deep.
We do need to know that. We do need to know how deep we can go. We
right.
do need to know how wide. Is there a proportion for depth for the slope, you know, of the grade, you know?
Well, there has to be some formula that I'm sure that...
Well, and it has to be... brought them, you know, if it's a county road and you have a committee and they're sure welcome to come to every meeting and all I need is addresses. We'd like to have another meeting after this one because I'm sure you're going to want to, like, you know.
Well, you've done a lot of homework here, it sounds like, and I'm sure you know, wetlands are involved and everything. It's not that easy, but you're starting. That's what it takes, and I think it's a great thing that you went this far, but I think we want to be involved.
We want to go as far north on K to go. It's almost 2 miles, and there is no designated area, but there's a really saturated area up there, and it's just you can see it from anywhere. So K has a north distance to it. I goes clear up to what I've always called the Bierman Brick House. That's a pretty defining facility out there. There's already some ditches. The highway right-of-way, for instance, is 4 feet silted in.
It is?
The highway is. Uh-huh. And there already are cement thoroughways underneath Highway 35 to, you know, we really can't lower or exchange those things.
What happens to all the dirt that you dig out, Andy?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a great idea for me to answer, but there's all kinds of places for it to go depending on what time of the year, when we get to do it, and how we get to do it. I came from a farm, and it came from the one right beside it. I would expect to be able to talk to the people on this list and say, would you like it back?
Or do you want the guy on another side?
Right. There's some low-lying areas that it could go in. There's, you know, the state wants to save theirs. They have a shortage of dirt, so they didn't want anybody to really get theirs. And they'd like to keep it.
And we've had the situation where a guy would go out and start digging out the ditch because his field silted into the ditch, and he starts digging the ditch, putting the dirt back. Well, you can't do that. Okay, that's a no-no. Because now you're in the county right-of-way where that dirt went there, so you can't do that. You know? And we've had people trying to do that, saying that, well, that's my dirt. I come from my field, and I pay, and I own to the center of the road. Yet, no, you pay taxes to the center of the road. You know, we have our easement.
Is that an easement that everybody knows? The easement is so many feet from the center of the road.
66 feet. Okay. Yep.
And what happens if we go 90 from the center
the
of the
right
road? It becomes a participating move.
Well, hopefully, the landowner would volunteer that.
And if he does, what happens to the slough of the water that comes from that then to where it ends up being is in the road right away? If you cut a field back to move the toe back in farther into a field and let that, you know, is there a... Anyway, those are the questions that
right.
the road department could help us with at a meeting.
Yeah.
So if you... The road department, I just need those names to invite them to a... It's usually pretty open. We haven't gotten anything done yet.
Has the NRD, I know you visited with them, have they offered any assistance in technical support, your engineering part of it? They
no.
have the people for that.
Well, and they do, and they can't, they say.
They can't.
What they have is already an enterprising idea of putting in these dam structures. There's 15 of them in the area. They are designed in the preservation of dirt versus water. Water, they're supposed to have a controlling awareness of it, but their idea of help would be to put another dam in between section 11 and 14 on the west side. Giving us permission to put it in the dike was kind of a, I guess, their the county NFCS office right here in town has a, since the flood, shot an overhead. It's done with from the air now for elevations to give us those numbers I gave. It's gravity, you know. If we could, But the, I think one of the key things for the road committee, you have a road committee, to be aware of, and to help. So as a group, we could decide is how the structure could be looked at from the side. How deep can we go, and how wide does it have to be if the depths become, you know, if we go 6 feet down, it's got to be 12 at the top. And it's got to have a 4 foot, you know. Larry's here. He could probably give us all of those things, that the correct verbiage. I don't know that kind of thing. I think if we dug it deep enough and there was water in it, then we'd go farther south and keep doing it until the water followed us where we're going. But we can't get that kind of permission.
And you have to understand, we're tied, too, by the state on our road standards, how deep our ditches can be in certain places. Because they don't want somebody running off a road into a 20-foot ditch, you know. I mean, I think our, and Fred would know, he's highway superintendent, but I think there's certain things that we maybe are not able to do without the state's approval. They look over our shoulder all the time, Andy. But I think we'd sure like to work with you guys.
Yeah, I think you got a great idea and a great plan. And Bill and I are on the road committee with Fred, obviously. We have him involved. So what we'd like to do is, of course, Bill, we know, I think he's on board. We'd like to go to your next meeting and get involved and have some more questions, and then let's see where this takes us.
That'd be good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
You can have it.
Thanks, Andy.
Can I ask? I don't want to bring up an old subject about drainage. We addressed about 5 years ago by my place, and I'm sure what I'm talking about doesn't deal with the area he does, but I'm in favor of the county doing something with this drainage, because that was one of the issues I had. The ditches between F Avenue and G Street on 190th Street are completely filled in, and that was one of my problems, and you guys didn't want to dig them back out then. So I hope you do look at that, because those ditches, not just my area, but they've got areas too.
Yep.
They got to get cleaned out. Yep. They've been allowed to fill in.
Yep.
So that's all I wanted to add. Don't just deal with their area. Deal with our area.
No, I know. I know. And that's one thing that we got to definitely take into consideration. If we start digging out ditches, you know, and everybody in the whole county is going to want
to. They were fighting that. They didn't want them dug out.
In your case, Leon, though, we talked about adding tubes, and we just can't cut tubes in.
Yeah, I understand like that. But I also said, well, clean the ditches out, and that even hit a brick wall. So and I don't want to bring up.
But we got to be careful. You got to be careful of shoving water. You know that. You got to be careful of shoving water from one neighbor to the next neighbor.
But
yeah, we all got very educated. And
all I'm saying is, if you're going to address this issue, which I'm in favor of you addressing, don't just deal with that area. Deal with other areas that problems exist.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn. Okay, let's move on to E real quick here. We're going to go to Sheriff Primer requesting board to approve the commissary service agreement between Dakota County Correctional Facility, Trinity Services Group, Inc. for commissary services, the AMH Trust Fund Accounting System. Is it working well?
Well, that's a whole lot.
I know.
Yeah. Get all that, so put that on there. Basically, what this is...
No, I made that all up.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
This is, we've been courting these guys they've been courting us for about 6-7 months now. What they want to do is they want to put in a wireless system in the jail, totally separate from what we have. This is all their own equipment, cost, from running the wire to everything. And it puts a wireless system in there, and they can put these little commissary-type iBooks or pads somehow in the wall in the cell. And I haven't actually seen how they do it yet, but other sheriffs have told me it works wonderful. We don't have to take our inmates out no more to order commissary. They pay for everything. All I'm required to do is a 3-year contract with them. Okay, there's, it says in the contract there. I read over it like 6 months ago. I haven't read it recently. But what this actually does is we go from 6% commissary revenue. This kicks it up to 19% to 20%. So we'll be making 3 times more off commissary than what we were making prior. And right now, as of today, last month, we had about $36,000 in the commissary account. We're only supposed to have $25,000 in there per the auditor, but it changes because some of that money is inmate money. They also bring
their balance, right?
Correct.
Their balance is in there.
Over the 25 is the inmate money. They also bring in two kiosks. We've got one in the lobby right now that doesn't work real well. It breaks down a lot. But they bring another one the same way. So when someone bonds out or people can come in and put money on the books for an inmate or something like that, they can go right to that kiosk. We don't have to touch the money. We don't have to have anything to do with it. And also, this also brings a kiosk in booking where when we bring an inmate in or we bring a prisoner in, we don't even touch their cash. Their cash gets dropped into this kiosk, but we don't see it. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't touch it. When they're released then, it's printed off on a debit card. They can take that. They have like 36 hours, I think, to take this money off then. After that, there's a dollar a day penalty or something for not taking it off. So what it mostly does is take all that cash handling out of my hands. That always helps.
Yeah.
And it will help prevent us bringing inmates out, taking them down the hall to stand there at that kiosk and order their commissary stuff.
3 years is a long time.
3 years, jeez. It goes by fast. 3 years, no. This contract I just pulled out today because I had a meeting with Keith. That is our current supplier of our commissary. It was signed in 06. And that was a 3-year.
Did you read E? It says, a client shall not during the term of the agreement nor for 1 year following the termination of the expiration solicit or hire or contact any of the employees or the former employees of Trinity for any of the subsidiaries. Yeah, they always get all their fine lines in there. And you know what? Listen, you know what the commissary is all about. What I mean, 19%? It seems like highway robbery. Is that even legal?
Well, but you gotta realize they mark this up and sell it to the inmates.
Right. So that's just our percentage.
The inmates are going to pay that much for it. That's just what our cut, the kind of taxpayers get back from these inmates. I mean, you either fine them or get it this way, and it's a lot easier to get it on them if they're buying candy. And
yeah, but if it saves you, if we make more money and it saves you time and energy, it's a win-win.
It's kind of a win-win, yes, I agree.
So there's two propositions here, one and two.
No, it's just on the commissary?
Like two copies for some reason. I didn't know.
Yeah, I think I might have dropped you off too. Okay, one was the 20%, and one was the 19%. The 19%, they pay for all ink cartridges in their printer, which there are some checks that Becky or the jet will have to write, but not nowhere near what they write now. So it's going to cut down on that. The 20% is if we pay for the ink. I just assume they pay for the ink.
So you're going to go with one?
I'm thinking. No, it's up to you guys.
But you probably want to do the 19% one, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, let them pay for the ink, right? 1% ain't going to make a big difference,
right.
But ink's expensive.
Obviously, it's a big difference for them, but for us, not to have to.
That's the only difference? I didn't read it.
I didn't get a look at them either.
I read them again. It's been a couple months, you guys, since I've actually read them, because I've been waiting to hear what was going to happen with Keith. But
with the what?
With the Keith, the person that supplies the commissary now. I'm trying to get everybody all on the same page in the jail so we know what's happening in there. So this will aid in that. And this also works with the next item on the agenda here.
So anyways, Bill or Dick, I don't know, I'm just going by what Sheriff Kleinberg, what his, you know, reading through this contract. I'm sure that he's going to do what's best for the jail. Any questions? Or
did you look at it, Ken?
I mean, did you look at the
contract? Just quickly.
Yeah.
We lot of other things going on.
I wasn't here last week to get my packet, so I didn't get a look at it. But
There's nothing neck hanging in there.
No.
Yeah.
There's nothing neck hanging in there.
Pardon my expression, but that's what I look for. Stuff that's going to hang us.
We can't feel any of their employees. You know, if we do, then we have to pay their annual salary.
For you, that's the one thing that stood out to me right there.
We have to give them an electric car.
The date since July instead of August, but.
Just need to fine tune a few things. The 19%. You want to do the 19% and let them supply all the.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Go that route.
Okay.
That's my motion to approve the Missionary Services Agreement between Dakota County and Trinity.
The 19%?
19%. Commissary. Sorry.
Commissary account, yep.
A commissary account. Okay, we got a motion by Bill and a second by Dick to approve the Commissary Service Agreement with Trinity. Will you call roll, please? Thanks.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to F. Kleinberger requesting Sheriff Kleinberger requesting the board to approve the jail management system project to coordinate required data with the law enforcement center.
Okay, what this is you know that we're going under a PSAP or a LEC upgrade with all the software, CAD, the whole bit. We've got a green screen antiquated system that's not keeping track of what we need it to keep track of. So we've been going through this for a year now. Scott, you're on the board. This started prior to me having anything to do with the jail. Okay. Now that I am involved with the jail, jamming the JMS, the jail software that we use to book people in and out, came out in the late 90s. So it's very, very old. This upgrade, this is Sun Garden. What this upgrade is it's a new JMS software. It's an add-on to the software that we're doing at the LEC. So basically what this does is tie all law enforcement into all the information that we get. So South Sioux gets information on a guy, and we end up booking him or arresting him down the road somewhere. All that information comes up when the guys are actually booking, and vice versa. So it just ties all law enforcement in the county together with me getting the jail on. Now, priorly, I've already ran fiber to the jail. And I did that when I first got here. And you guys remember, I got in trouble for doing that without asking permission. Well, that fiber now is why this is going to work so well. Because this ties it all in. It cuts down, I mean, it does everything from mapping. When I get an inmate that comes in and lies where their address is, we don't know that right now, so we can't find them again. With this stuff, it maps, it ties it right in with the LEC. So we know if that's an invalid address, and we're typing it, and we also know where they live.
So what's it going to cost?
Yeah. I was going to get to that, but I was going to pitch it all first. You don't want to hear my spiel?
You had a plan, didn't you?
It's oh, yeah. Good. Especially after the meeting today. I got it down to $79,000.
Yeah.
When I initially looked into this 2 months ago, it was over 100.
It was.
Yeah.
So it's going to continue to get cheaper than if we wait.
It is much. No, I would like to say that. And I've waited for a month and a half, Bill. Okay. And this guy is not going any lower no matter what I do. And now there's a chance I can look at other software, but it's not going to integrate with this. Now, I found some funding for this, if it matters.
Well, sure it matters. All of it.
I can spend my commissary money on some of this. Or there's a little money in an account from when the jail was built that I was kind of counting on.
That's budgeted in from. What's that?
There's that much in there.
There's that much.
I tell you, I got it down a bunch. And this salesman, he's not. There's other jail management, but.
The key is the key factor in this whole scenario is we need to get with our city of South Sioux City people and start negotiating and talking about this LEC. And I mean, it has to happen. And I keep bringing it up to them, and they keep putting me off. I know their budget's coming due in October, so I think I'm going to have to make a point just to call them and say, hey, this is it. This is lunchtime. This is what's going to happen.
But Scott, as that's happening, it's stuff like this that's actually making us, a couple weeks ago, or it's been a couple months now, I realized that we were printing off and distributing out locations of our inmates in our jail. to me, especially holding federal inmates, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I said, stop doing that. Well, what that causes problems for other offices that depend on it. They weren't even looking at books. This, county attorney already has access to this. This is when we get it running at the first of the year. She doesn't need me to print them things off. She can get in there and get in and look at anything she wants to. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not printing off hard copies of where my inmates and what inmates are and just purse them around the county anymore. But there's a lot to what you're saying also. So I assume we'll be able to do that also. So because we've moved out of the LEC, it doesn't mean anything. We're actually, this kind of stuff right here and the upgrade to the LEC has made us all work together a whole lot better and have the ability to do that. It's not where we're located geographically. It's stuff like this that's causing that.
Right.
So, yeah, Sasu needs to pay for their own PD.
Well, we just need to regroup and figure out what makes sense for everyone. That's my whole point. And they know that as well. I mean, they're prepared for it.
This is actually, this little module, we paid for the Cry Wolf module. That's part of that Lance, that Sal Su wanted, and Chief Ford wanted that back in the time, Cry Wolf. Well, that was an add-on of 10, 15 grand. At that time, I wasn't in the jail. Well, we could use that. Cry Wolf basically tells you when there's alarms going off and how many times you respond there, and then you can start billing these places that have these alarms we're responding to all the time. There's nothing. They just won't fix their alarm system.
Right.
Well, that's what that tracks. County guys don't have as much as that as the city guys do. But we're paying for half of that. This way, self-solution.
I know. I understand.
So...
Okay, so your budget is 79 grand, and again, it's one of those scenarios, you know, like our prior meeting that we had, you know, you got to take your word for it. Because, I mean, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I mean, you know, to some degree, you might as well be talking Japanese to me. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know what the needs are, and if it was 100 grand and now it's 79 grand, and I guess we just need to do our part on our end, and we need to do our thing with the city and figure out what is going to take place there.
Now, some of these licensing for, like, this pinpoint mapping and stuff, that'll come out, that'll be an LEC expense for the years down the road. It won't be the jail's expense for that, because this mapping part of this add-on quote or whatever it is, that's all part of a bundle, but the LEC will, or the dispatch will actually use that also. So some of the licensing for what I've got here in my quote gets paid for out of there, and I spoke with a couple of people in the LEC this morning about this, and it was all agreed that that's true. So, you know, but it also helps the sheriff's office, because now my civil process, and I'm running mileage, I've got concrete mileage here when I do all them paper service, because it, actually when she enters this now, it's going to come right up and show how many miles, the distance, the whole bit. It's modern stuff.
Yeah, like Scott said, we don't know. You know what you need. I would rather... Our other two board members were here when we approved this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize you have the money there, but I'd still like to wiggle labor here.
Okay.
2 weeks isn't going to make any difference, is it?
Well, actually...
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Actually, I should have had this going like 2 months ago, but I wasn't aware of... I knew I wasn't going to spend as much on it as he wanted, so I was still in negotiations.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to do it. Well, now we're like under... Right now, we're going through the training for RMS, for the CAD at the LEC. This will go back up because we can actually add this on now, and this week get into that training that they so much... Over half the cost of this is travel expenses and training. That's how he got it down to where he was, so we could be involved, so my corrections guys can be involved with that training. And this board meeting was actually a little late for me. And this is just an add-on to what you guys already approved.
Okay.
So I technically could have just said, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable doing that.
But you need...
I need an answer. And I hate to do that to you. I understand.
But there is enough money for this whole thing.
There is. And that jail, that tax that we
hedged for the sales tax fund.
Yeah.
$3,300. There's over $100,000 left.
That's where the stroke ball came into play
right.
today.
Yeah.
The lights. The
colors. Yes.
He thought I was taking that, but I'm not. That fund did not get touched.
You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen in the jail, from painting to upgrading cameras. And I tell you, I can fight through that and do it a little bit at a time out of the budget, month by month.
Right.
But this is going to give me such better numbers when it comes right down to it that I can answer for who's in there. It helps me with my billing, with out-of-county, holding out-of-county prisoners, with the marshals. We got marshals back in there now, so that's a good thing. But it is up to you guys.
So we will be getting money back out of that.
I don't know if it's going to generate anywhere. It might save me some time.
Well, I know, but...
What do you want to do, gentlemen?
I trust our sheriff here. I think CP thinks we need this. I'm going to move that we go with the jail management system.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill for the management system for the jail, law enforcement center. Dick?
Yeah.
Okay, second by Dick. We call roll, please, John.
And with that, Trust does a good job of staying within his
budget. Does. He does, without a doubt.
We do appreciate that.
Yep.
So, I believe you, if you need this, I believe you truly do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So.
I appreciate it, and I wouldn't want to stand up here after the meeting we had before.
No, I know. I know.
You've been dying to get up there to say this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, will you call roll, please, John?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep, thank you. Okay, we're going to get to the good stuff here. Here we go. We're going to go on G. We're going to approve the resolution 16C-016 to approve the final allocation of levy authority for Dakota County Ag Society. And I see some people here from the Ag Society. That's why I say we're going to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, this is what I really came for. I'd like to hand out, and I'm not going to say a whole lot here. I'm not even on the board anymore, but I kind of do a lot of their book stuff still. Just keep going around this. This is historic information of what, you know, we have, our allocations have been in past years. And it, from that you can see that we haven't asked for an increase for 6 years. So, and then I actually compute, I do their budget deal, and you compute their levy limit for restricted funds and what those numbers were, and you can see we haven't for years asked for what the levy limit, not to say you have to give us that number, obviously, but that's our levy limit. So we've always been under that, and last few years by quite a bit. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because I'm sure you're being pressured to cut the budget or spending money, but I don't want the ag side to be say, well, you're asking way more than you asked for prior years, but we haven't asked for what the lead limit would have allowed us to ask for quite some time. So I'm going to let some other people speak more specifically as to what, why we're asking for it, for what they intend to do with it. I know they're trying to beef up that fair. So I'm going to, maybe unless you've got some questions on the history, that's mostly what I was going to do, is what you, so you understand there hasn't been a request for extra money for quite some time. So with that, I'll let somebody else speak more, so what those funds they're hoping to use them for.
I don't know. Do you guys have any questions?
What is the plan? I mean, why do you need the extra $30,000?
We're hoping to, over the years, next, because it's going to take us several years, but we'd like to air condition the exhibit hall so that we can maybe use that to generate some more revenue for our fairs and the grounds to help. You know, those buildings haven't had a lot of repair work done for a long time and stuff, so... We've been, over the last 2 years actually, have done a lot of cosmetic stuff to the buildings and the grounds itself, but the next phase would be we have to bring in some three-phase electricity, which is expensive, and air conditioning units in that building. And that, yeah, we've improved our campsites. We had to reduce some of the electricity to the campsites. Back when we built those, there was tents and pop-up campers, and now they're home on wheels coming in and stuff. So we had to beef up our electricity. And do you guys have anything you want to add?
I might just say, I mean, if you've been to the fairgrounds, they're getting those in shape, and there's still some more work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I agree with you, Leon. You guys have done a lot of work out there.
Our numbers this year at the fair almost doubled from last year. So
good.
We've been really working on
what's that. What's the crazy carnies going to be back someday? Are they ever going to come back? The rides? I mean, what do they call them again?
Well, they're carnivals, and we check into those almost every year.
Listen to me, crazy carnies.
Due to the accidents that can happen, the carnivals have had to increase their insurance.
I'm sure. So yeah. Their costs go up?
Yeah, they would cost. The cheapest one I think that we ran into is about $15,000 to get in there, and that was like six rides.
Was it true? Somebody told me once they got away from that, and once you get out of the rotation, it takes you many, many years to get back in that rotation.
Well, was that right?
That's what I was told. And I was like, really?
Yeah, that
that's
is true. They have their schedule.
They probably got a plan, don't they? They're probably booked out years in advance, probably.
Yeah.
I would think. I don't know. But I just thought, well, that's odd. I suppose you just can't call any carnival act and have them show up at your place.
Not a decent one.
No. Right.
There's some out there, but we don't want any accidents to happen
either. Right. Well, no.
I got to tell you, it's hard not to give you guys money, but as you know, we're under a financial crunch. Would this be a one-year spike, or do you foresee maybe next year going back down again to where you were? Or do you think?
I mean, are you thinking this 30 grand can get your air conditioning and electricity into place, or
no.
You're thinking this is going to be an ongoing every year? From
the total project for the air conditioner at this point, with getting the three phase in there and the air conditioning in, it's going to be right at $90,000.
Do you think you know a good relative that does air conditioning work?
Well, we talked to him on it. I don't know if he's the right guy or not.
Are you NPPD or REA?
NPPD.
Why wouldn't they help you guys out on this deal? I mean, it looks like to me, as a community project, they would do this.
The reasoning he gave me for that is it's so seasonal that they would never generate their income back off the
Well, so is irrigation.
It's three pole spans. It's to the corner, circle R, three phases.
How much of this $90,000 is for MPPD?
A little over $10,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
Three phase over. So it ain't huge.
No.
It's a small step. But, you know, we're in our goal, too, you know, we've had a lot more events at this year at the fairgrounds than we ever have in years.
Right.
Just it is, you know, we've been more outside type of things, but you know, we have this huge, beautiful exhibit hall that's 115 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
So you know, and so that's kind of what we eventually we can get to the point where we are actually using our fairgrounds. We've had a lot of events. We've used the arenas. We don't generate a lot of income, but it's a beautiful facility. It's a beautiful area that we are trying to use, utilize.
I mean,
for the community and. That's kind of our thinking too, just along that lines of we have that building we could use for different events for the community, or you know, even just beautifying our fairgrounds, you know, having some cosmetic facelifts and structural
changes to the building. We just had to just change our levy list.
So with that levy, that won't work. This 135 that you're asking about will probably be up there for a few years.
We don't even come close to being at
our level. So we can't approve it today, or we can't approve it.
Save some of it.
These numbers here.
Somebody speak just a little bit more about the financing issue that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This isn't going to cover it. I'm not on the board anymore, but I did attend a meeting where we kind of talked a little bit about the budget, and they said one of the options is we ask for a little extra money in our building fund each year until we get enough to pay for the air conditioning. My thought would be that's all going to just keep going up. And if you can start doing projects now to raise it, and I got a lot of history when we bought the fairgrounds and what they did there, the county approved bond fund that we retired over several years. And I'm speaking a little out of turn, but just to give you what I'm probably going to tell those guys is, I think you ought to take this extra money, go ahead and get it put in. The county will let us borrow the money, and then we retire that debt through money that we can raise, and then we get some money each year from boat rent, and a fair amount of money. What is that, someone, 10 grand? And, you know, maybe they dedicate that money to retire some of this debt. So,
well, I think for what they do, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Leon, but I think for what they do and what they have going on, and what the number of the levy being plugged in at 0.0079, I don't think it's that I can see it's an issue that we'll just do.
Okay.
We'll just do, yeah.
And then, I mean, we have thought about it. Yeah.
No, and I appreciate that. You know, the long, you know, the payback term or whatever the case may be, but. No, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a motion myself here to approve the resolution 16C-016 to approve the final allocations of the levy authority for Dakota County Ag Society, and that's a total of zero. Let's see, the capital improvement, the general of 005570, and then the capital improvement of 0.002345, with a total of 0.007915.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion by myself and a second by Bill. Good job, everybody. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes. Thank you, guys, for doing what you're doing out there.
Yep.
It's a great thing.
Okay, we're going to move on here. We're going to go to H. We're going to approve Resolution 16C-017 to approve the final allocation of levy authority for Dakota County Historical Society.
That's Sally.
Okay. Let's see, where's that one at?
It ain't, I don't have it. Do you have it?
It's on the back side.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, Sally's on that board.
How come I don't see it?
It's on the back side of your front page, sir.
Yeah.
0.0016.
Or mine is anyway, Scott.
Oh, so, okay, 17. Okay, yeah, okay, I got it, okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so the property request the levy is going to be set at 0.001676. So the request is $28,591, and then the property tax allocation was $28,591. So it's the same, right, Joan?
What they're requesting is what you're allocating.
Right, what the allocation is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyways, the levy is 0.001676 for the Historical Ag Society.
I move to approve resolution 16-3-017.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill and a second by Dick for to approve resolution 16C-017 for the Dakota County Historical Society. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to approve resolution 16C-018 to approve the final allocations of levy authority for Dakota Covington Rural Fire District. Okay, that, as you can see, the final number is 0.026979.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. We got a motion by Dick and a second by Bill for to approve resolution 16C-018 for Dakota Covington Rural Fire District. Call roll, please, Joan.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Come, I can't see very well. Tired. Contacts are dry. Okay, then, Jay, we're going to go approve resolution 16C-019. The approval of the final allocation of levy authority for the Emerson Rural Fire District. That's 1-9, and that is set at 0.020956. That is resolution 16C-019 for Emerson Fire.
So moved.
Motion by Dick.
Second.
Second by Bill. We call roll, please, John.
Scott.
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill.
Okay, and then lastly here we have the Dakota, Homer Rural Fire Department. We got to approve resolution 16C-020 the levy authority for Homer Rural District Fire District, and that is set at 0.016793 for Homer Rural Fire District.
I would move to approve 16C-02.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill.
Second.
Second by Dick. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we got them taken care of. We're good there. We're going to move on to L. LCC Library members to request Dakota County's line item of the county budget of a $40,000 payable to the city of South Sioux City to allow the South Sioux City Library to extend library privileges for the county residents outside the city of South Sioux City boundaries at no cost. Anyone want to step up and hi, Sally.
Hi, Scott. I don't know if you realize this, but when the county started contributing toward the South Sioux Library, the city felt that it would be only fair that the county have a representative on the board. Here I am. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not.
Of the 8,600 patrons who hold current library cards, 3,000 of them have a zip code that is not 68776. And we know that some of the ones who do have a South Sioux zip code don't live within the city limits. So I can safely tell you that 40% of our patrons live in Dakota County, but not in the city. The library's budget is roughly $400,000. The county has been paying $40,000 of that. So the county has 40% of our patrons and is paying 10% of our budget. So I think the county is getting a pretty good deal. If the county no longer contributes to the library's budget, patrons living outside the corporate limits will have to pay for their library cards. What that will have to cost, we don't know. Sioux City is charging $85, and our library is certainly equivalent to theirs. We'd like to think it's better, but we won't go there. It's doubtful that we can make up the shortfall by doing that. Some people won't pay $85 for a library card, and frankly, some people can't. So the most likely scenario is the library will have to make up for the shortfall by cutting some things. We've been looking at it. We believe that by closing the library on Saturday, by closing an hour early every weeknight, by eliminating the evening children's librarian, by eliminating the after-school children's programs, and cutting some other programs, we could compensate for the loss. That will not be a popular decision, and it certainly isn't popular with us. But we can't pay for staff and programming without the money to pay for them. If you choose not to continue the $40,000 in your budget, people aren't going to be interested in hearing your reasons why. I know how people are. You know how they are. They will just blame you because you were the commissioners and you made the decision. So I really hope you can find a way to make this work.
So roughly it's costing, Sally, excuse me real quick, if you're okay with this. So if you take the $3,000, the $40,000 divided into $3,000, that's roughly $13. It's costing like $13, $14. If those numbers are accurate.
Yeah.
And I'm not down.
Yeah.
That's roughly
what it's
costing.
I didn't even do the math, but yeah, you're right.
So
yeah.
Why the $85? I mean, yeah. Why would you charge $15 or $20?
No, that doesn't really cover the cost of running a library. You know,
it helps defray.
Now it would, you know, 80,000, you know, 85 would be actually more reflective of what the actual cost is.
That'd be $240,000.
Yeah, but like I said, a lot of people won't. A lot of people can't. You know, they're using the library because it's free. If they had to choose between getting a library card and paying for groceries for the week, no brainer.
Well, obviously the crunch, and everybody's in a crunch, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know this. The library's probably in a crunch. The county's in a crunch. You know, the city, I think, this is all videoed, audioed, and I think they use the county a lot, in a lot of ways. And not great ways, good ways, if you will. Okay, and do I feel bad that we are withdrawn from the library? Is it a good? It's not a good thing. No, but in the same time, we cannot. We're at the situation where we can't afford to be involved with a $40,000. Payment to the library. As much as we'd love to be. They just got us in a situation where, you know, they keep tipping areas and tipping areas and tipping areas and tipping areas where we just can't, you know, they're taking a lot of revenue from us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe I can, maybe I'll get with the mayor or Bruce Davis and maybe they can offset the $40,000 that the county can't afford to pay. Well, for the residents of Dakota County outside.
Now, I understand what you're saying. We weren't the ones who did that to you.
No, I understand that. And I said, we feel bad about it. I understand you're not the ones that did that to us. But at the same time, they've put us in a crunch. So that's where I say, well, maybe we'll go to them and say, hey, you know, you got us in a crunch here. And we feel bad about, you know, us not being obligated to the South Sioux City Library that we can afford to. So, you know, maybe you can pick up the cost for us.
Oh, I understand.
Maybe, is that an option?
But
I don't know.
It is your county residents that you're going to be hurting, not the city.
Well, there's a lot of things we could sit there and bicker back and forth on with the city and the county. You know, they could sit there and say to us, well, you know, your tax dollars, you know, the housing tax dollars, look at there and your lands and this and that. Well, then they forget that, you know, that all the prisoners that we take in, and all the expenses. I mean, it's a two-way street of expenses that everybody's taking in on one another. And we just all just need to work with one another. But, I don't know, Bill, you want to add something? Dick,
well,
you want to add something to this?
We just met with every department head in the county prior to this meeting today. We're about $1.5 million shortfall in this year's and next year's budget, trying to figure out how we're going to make this work with staff. We're going to ask maybe the hiring freeze, and with that, it doesn't make sense for us, I don't think, to contribute this money. We'd love to, don't get me wrong, we'd love to give you guys $70,000, but you know, we might have to go to a 36-hour work week here at the courthouse. That's not going to be very popular to me. It would be us making a bad decision.
Well, I understand you're preaching to the choir. You know, I've been here. But city people vote for you too.
I understand.
You know that.
I'm not here for a popularity contest.
No, good luck on that one. So, okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Sally. Okay, we're going to move on to miscellaneous, which Fred Kellogg's not here today, so his road report's somewhere on my desk.
I think I see it here.
I got it.
What's that, John? It was somewhere here, road report, but oh, here it is. I don't know if it's anything out of the ordinary. We see that 50 and a half hours, whatever, 20 hours, 70 hours, 53, 60, 29. Looks like they went through, 1,131 tons of gravel. They had signs and barricading for 28 hours. Road concerns was M Avenue, and gravel was M Avenue. So total projects around the shop, they had 259 hours. tree and debris removal. I think they went down to Homer. They do a lot of help down there, Fred.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did a lot of grinding.
Yeah, around
49 and a half hours. Well, Homer, they had 22 hours. I see that. But anyways, I don't think there's anything really too much out of the ordinary. If you want to, when Fred gets back in the next meeting, if you want to hold on to that, we can ask him. Any questions for Fred? Okay, let's move on to Commissioner Committee Reports. I'm trying to think if I had anything. I'm kind of in a blur right now.
Lack of sleep.
Yeah. Got jet lag.
September 19th, the tire collection is open for everybody in West Point.
Again?
Yeah, this is for the NRD. We're having it down there at West Point at the fairgrounds.
What's it like keeping Northeast Nebraska beautiful? Is it going well?
Oh, good. Where's Sally? Good. What the deal is, you might as well know we're in a problem right now that's bad. We want to do the river. We got everything lined up for it. But they said no. They want Northeast Nebraska to pay between $500 to $2,500 for 4 hours for insurance. And I did talk to a guy the other day from Morton up here, the insurance company. He said to get a hold of him, and maybe they can work something out to pay that $2,500 for 4 hours from the boat
just
on the river.
Just in case somebody falls in or something.
Yeah, the Corps of Engineers says that they don't want anybody on the river. You can go on the river, but don't get off your boat is what they don't want us to do, to pick up stuff. So that's where we're at right now. And that was supposed to be September 10th we was going to do it, but now we're on hold on it. Okay?
Okay. And obviously, it was one of the committee reports that Bill and I and Joan met with all the department heads or elected officials today, just like kind of what Bill just said. You know, we talked about the budget needs to be adopted and approved at that next meeting, the 12th. We got all of our pretty much everything in line. Joan has pulled money from obviously different areas that's going to drain us. And we just went to all the elected officials and asked them to do whatever we need to do. It's like Bill said, you know, if we got to put on a hiring freeze, I guess, if people leave. We're just going to have to try to accommodate each department, and we're going to have to figure it out. But it's going to be it'll be a challenge, but we've been through this before. We came out of it. We'll do it again. Okay, and then any other committee reports? If none, mail emergency business. I see I got a letter here from Mr. Lance Hedquist here that says the city is enclosed a copy of a notice of a public hearing regarding a blighted and substandard determination within the corporate city limits of South Sioux City, and a copy of the blighted substandard is done by, I don't know, Hannah Associates PC. But the hearing will be held on Monday, September 12th at 5 o'clock in the City Hall chambers. And it looks like there's a map of, it looks like it's all the city, the whole chunk in the city.
Oh,
and yeah, the whole. And so, anyways, that's part of the mail that we've all received. Was there something else going in the head mail, or is that it? Is this Nebraska Economic Development District, the EDD, is that Simco? They were awarded some money, $34,000 in funds.
She's coming to our September 29th meeting to talk about that.
All right, easy enough. Otherwise, and I know that, we'll just see what else happens here with some more blighted areas here. Okay, with that said, we're going to go to public comments. Anybody from the public would like to speak?
Well, I just...
Can you come on up to the podium, sir, and state your name and address for the record?
Yeah.
Larry Albanicious?
Yeah.
Jackson, Nebraska?
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, board members. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. You let one of your motor graders come up our way. Doing a good job.
Well, I don't think anything to do with it, but I'll take credit for it.
I think you must have. I think you must have. Yeah. First time I've seen him all year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Good. You know, Todd Sparrow is the motor grader. We got this one day. He's there pretty much all the time. But, and what's the difference? What is the difference between a private road and a public road when it comes to county maintenance and whatever?
So, okay, can you be a little bit more...
Well, if you're going to gravel a road or put culverts in a road or build a road, what determines whether it's public or private?
We've got a list of public roads in the county. Brent's got them.
Yeah, but my question is do you normally maintain private roads?
No.
Okay, so what determines whether it's private or public?
Well, because I would guess, I'll don't correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, we our highway allocation is so many miles that we get.
Well, you live on a private road.
Yeah, like my and Larry knows what private. I think he's getting this. There's somebody might be getting some gravel on a private road. I think is what he's getting at.
Well, a lot more than that, maybe.
Well, I don't know.
Not currently, the county's broke now, but they weren't a couple years ago.
Okay, a couple years. But see, so I mean, and believe me, Larry's—he knows every private road and every county road in this county. I promise you that.
Yeah, I even got hung up on a minimum maintenance road.
So yeah,
but that's because that doggone bridge has been out over 5 years and never gotten fixed. And I took a shortcut on this damn public road, or a dirt road. But anyway, I didn't get the stuck stuff I got through there. I had a board.
There you go. No, don't say that.
Anyway, what the heck was Mary the question? I got it. Well, I guess that was the big one. But, has anyone ever done a study or some sort of review as to what it would truly cost to bring the county roads up to standards with the proper depth ditches and slopes and that sort of thing?
No. I don't think we want to know.
I don't think so either.
Oh, God.
Best guess would be about $40 million.
But oh, yeah, it'd be crazy.
Yeah. So I guess it's ditch clean-out is important. What they were talking about here, it is really, and that's a bad deal down there where they're talking about.
I know it is.
Because you'll never maintain a whole road with water up at about the level of the road. You got to have 4 foot ditches, and it just ain't fine enough.
But can you see something happening, though? and don't get me wrong, I want to get involved, and I think they got a great idea. But can you see them doing this and not taking care of the total water problem, and then all of a sudden somebody that didn't have a water problem, they have a water problem, you know, and then it just escalates in. Can you see that happening or not?
To be all certain, it doesn't know what's going to go on down on the end of it, where it's going to all wind up.
Where are you sending it to?
Like a big retention area to hold it, to pump it. And,
right.
Yeah.
And if the flow of the creek's too high, you may not be able to pump into it.
I know.
Right. And then what happens then?
The next guy down there.
Right. That's what I mean. Then you start pumping. Yeah. That's
see this lead, because the NRD is going to dredge that Pigeon Creek.
They are.
When that's dredged, this would make a whole lot more sense.
Right.
Then they wouldn't have to pump it.
Right.
No.
They could actually drop it
in. Well, but the problem is you'd have to have a superstructure there.
Well, yeah.
To get the water in, and it can go in.
I know.
Because if the creek
would have to be as high as the banks.
Yeah.
It's a huge project.
Well, I helped Kenny Baker shoot that. His ground is 3 foot higher than the bottom of the
bridge. It would be.
And it is right at the high bridge. I helped him shoot it. That's hard to believe, but it is.
Oh, I know.
Louis Storm said the same thing.
It probably on the south side of the creek. It's probably lower yet, isn't it? Or is that where you guys shot?
We shot on the north where Kenny Baker lives.
Yeah, I think it's lower in there where the retention area is when the creek breaks out. Yeah.
It's a mess.
Flood that area.
It's a mess.
You know, when I was a kid, though, Larry, you remember this, and you do too, there was drag lines on that all summer.
Yeah, all summer. Never
all
quit.
All summer long they were dredging that out.
Never quit.
One on each side. They started up here.
There's lots better equipment today to do it.
Well, I know it. They can do it up there.
Well, they started out.
One-tenth the time.
They started out. They got as far as 200 Street. Then they quit. Bryce Anderson Road. See, they did all that.
They dredged that?
Oh, yeah. They dug that out that far back. Because that's where Steve Harris hauled all that dirt that time. Yeah, that was done. From there.
The blowout.
Well, there's a lot to be done for that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really could be. It costs money. Sounds like they're about the only ones that have money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll talk to the governor.
Thanks for stopping by, Larry. It's always nice having seen you.
Yeah. See you, Larry.
Okay, 4:31, we are adjourned.